Ask any dentist and they will tell you most of us brush our teeth too hard, unevenly, and not nearly long enough. And that leads to serious health problems. So I decided to do something about it. I'm Simon Enova, and I invented Quip, the modern electric toothbrush to help you have fresh breath, pristine teeth, and excellent oral hygiene. As a product designer, I care about how your toothbrush looks, feels, and the quality of every bristle. Quip has a lightweight and sleek design, with simple timed vibrations and guiding pulses for a perfect two-minute clean. And unlike other high-end electric toothbrushes, Quip starts at just $25. BuzzFeed calls us the iPhone of toothbrushes, and Time magazine named us one of the best inventions of the year. Start brushing better with Quip.
Go to getquip.com/clean and get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/clean. Spelled getquip.com/clean.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. The Wolves are making big plans for their 25th anniversary. Get your season tickets now and receive exclusive benefits. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. Mike Montgomery was drafted by Kansas City back in 2008 and a piece in the James Shields and Wade Davis trade, so Montgomery never pitched for the Royals at the major league level. Well, the Cubs southpaw faces KC tonight right here on The Score at 7:15. Joe Maddon with Bernstein McKnight at noon, and Albert Almora with McNeil and Parkins at 2 o'clock. Ronaldo Lopez and the Sox face CC Sabathia and the Yankees this evening on the South Side. Courtney Smith's lawyer says that Ohio State never contacted her to discuss a domestic assault allegation against former Buckeyes assistant Zach Smith. CBS analyst Tim Brando with Mullion Haw.
The Zach Smith interview, you can talk to anybody you want, and you can see right through that guy. Why you would put your legacy on the line, I understand the relationship with Earl Bruce as someone that's in his 60s that has mentors that are like second fathers. I understand that part of it. But to put your legacy on the line for that guy, who's not even really a very good position coach, that's incredible to me.
The entire interview, Brando with Mullion Haw, is on 670thescore.com. Michigan announces that basketball coach John Beilein is recovering from a double bypass heart surgery, and the Washington Nationals have signed relief pitcher Greg Holland. This update was brought to you by Webb Chevy. Searching for a great deal on Chevys in Chicago? Visit Webb Chevy in Plainfield or Oak Lawn. Fantasy football commissioners, host your fantasy draft party in a private suite at iconic Soldier Field on August 18th. Complimentary food and beverages are included, along with a panel discussion featuring Connor McKnight, Nick Shapkowski, Julie DeCaro, and myself. Visit chicagotribune.com/draftparty to get your tickets now. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to the radio home for Cubs baseball, 670 The Score. The next game on The Score is tonight at 6:40 when the Cubs take on the Royals. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in the North Aurora Auto Mall.
Jeff Sullivan.
We want to go into the weeds. Jeff Sullivan of Fangraphs.
Senior editor at Fangraphs.
You get on base, we win. You don't, we lose. And I hate losing.
Going inside the numbers.
There are still dinosaurs out there, but there's exit velocity on national baseball games now. People are talking about UZR on broadcast. It's over.
You still don't need cybermetrics. If it has anything to do with figuring stuff out.
Jeff Sullivan with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
He's on Twitter at @based_ball. Fangraphs senior editor Jeff Sullivan joins the Bernstein and McKnight show as he does at this time every Tuesday. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Good. I saw this note from one of our favorite stat guys over at NBC Sports Chicago, Chris Compka, who has a list of Cubs with 30 doubles, 5 triples, 25 home runs, and 15 stolen bases in a season in their long history. Ryne Sandberg in 1985, Ryne Sandberg in 1992, Alfonso Soriano in 2007, and, as you expect, Javier Baez. So I'm wondering, as you look at Baez, and with everything that's going on this year with his, let's call it what it is, a breakout season, What do you see? What do you think you're watching here, both in what the numbers tell you and what your eye tells you regarding sort of baseball history? Because I don't see any Ryan Sandberg in him, really, and I don't see much Alfonso Soriano. I'm not quite sure.
Right. He has a unique skill set. He has a kind of aggressive batting approach that you wouldn't teach. He is, of course, the kind of versatile and talented defender where the numbers that we have don't really capture how valuable he is. We've talked about this before, et cetera. He's so dynamic and athletic, and he's hitting. I mean, you look at his approach before and you think, okay, clearly he swings himself into a lot of trouble, and it's going to be really difficult for him to make himself into a better than average hitter unless he starts running into a few more dingers or extra base hits. But what he's done this year, this is a kind of a minor thing. He's still swinging just as much as he ever has outside of the strike zone. That's just kind of programmed into him. With Baez, it's like the Cubs figured, okay, well, we're not going to get you to swing less, so let's actually get you to swing more. And he's become more aggressive in the strike zone. And if you're Baez, of course, the more strikes you swing at, then the better the quality of hittable pitches you're likely to end up putting in play. That's not the whole reason why he's been so good. But when I look at him, I got this note from your producer just saying that we were going to talk about Baez looking for comps. And, you know, I kind of hit my head against the wall for about 15, 20 minutes trying to figure out something that felt appropriate, because we've seen a lot of guys who don't walk and strike out and hit for power. But you throw in the rest of his athletic package, and a name I came up with, and this is a name that comes with a lot of baggage and caveats, but just in terms of baseball skill at his prime, I'm reminded quite a bit of actual, like, peak Josh Hamilton just about a decade ago or so, a little less than a decade with the Rangers. Of course, he wasn't an infielder, but Hamilton just had this, he made everything look easy when he made it work, but he swung through a lot of pitches, and he swung at a lot of pitches, but he was good in the outfield. Of course, for a variety of reasons, he wound up kind of brittle. His career didn't end the way that I think anyone wanted it to, but he had this approach where he swung like Vladimir Guerrero, but he didn't make as much contact. It's just when he hit it, you knew. Hamilton didn't steal bases quite like Baez does. He wasn't necessarily the dynamic defender that Baez is, but Hamilton played center field for a good team. He was an MVP, and he hit the crap out of the ball. So I think Hamilton, at least as far as recent comps go, he's the best I could come up with.
I didn't see that coming.
No, neither did I. I thought you were going to go with a much more terrifying name, and it's one that's kind of scared me about Javi Baez since his call-up in 2014. You guys do percentiles, right, of you know, the 90th percentile of a prospect coming out. You know, your wildest dreams of Cubs fans and Javi Baez turns into a Hall of Famer. That's your upper echelon. But the lower part of this, you know, you get worried, or at least you could, a couple of years ago, that you see more 2017 Rougned Odor than you do 2018 Javi Baez, right? I mean, just the amount of times he swings, the number of strikeouts you could possibly have, and the power that exists in a meaningless 30 home run season like Rougned had last year. I guess I wonder, you know, what likelihood is it, or is there any way to say what kind of likelihood there is that Javi fights off a season like that?
I think when you look at Odor, there are some comps here, of course, just in terms of how they swing, what their general approach is. But you look at Baez, and Baez hits the ball harder. He's just he's a stronger guy. That was his calling card, and he was coming up, for God's sake. He would just hit the snot out of the ball, and that's what he's been doing now. But Odor also, he just has this longer sort of uppercutty swing, makes him more prone to infield pop-ups. And I know that Odor right now is just on a hot streak like few other players in baseball, but he's a player who's difficult to trust. And now, of course, you look at and buys his track record, and, you know, until this year, he was about the same hitter as, like, Addison Russell. He was just good enough, but not quite an above-average hitter, and that was frustrating. And it would not surprise me if Baez were not going to remain quite as good as his, what is his, WRC plus, if we're going to go there. I think right now it's like 143 on the season. That means he's 43% better than average. I would think that with Baez's approach, he's probably going to swing himself into a few more outs, and he'll get a little worse from here, but I think he has meaningfully improved from what he was before. And I think just because of how much harder he hits the ball than Odor, sort of like maximum exit velocity stuff, I think that with Baez, he doesn't need to make 100% contact to hit the ball out of the yard like Odor does. And you know, Baez is able to hit the ball around to other parts of the field. Odor pretty much is only successful to the pole side. Baez is a better defender. He's just a far more entertaining player to watch. I think Odor is fine. His career is back on track, but I would put it like, I don't know, one standard deviation better than Rougned Odor. Does that work?
Yeah, I mean, that makes me feel a lot better. I feel like I knew a lot of those things, but I need to hear it from other people sometimes.
Reassured.
Thank you, Jeff.
Speaking of weighted runs created plus, that was the stat involved in the partial list that I gave out ahead of your appearance today, and I mentioned the number of people behind number one on this list of best teenage MLB players. And at the very top of the list that also had on it, you know, Mel Ott and Ty Cobb and Bryce Harper and Mickey Mantle, at the very top, and by a quite a margin, with a projected weighted runs created plus this season of 151, is a guy I must confess I'm clearly underrating in my baseball mind, and that's Juan Soto. When did it sort of start to settle into you that we're seeing something we've never seen before with him?
With Juan Soto, he's a rookie for the Nationals. I think Juan Soto suffers a little bit from sort of, let's call it, Anthony Rendon syndrome, where he's just a really great player on a team that has a lot of great players. And so it's hard to look past Strasburg and Harper and Scherzer and the stars the Nationals already have. But you look at Juan Soto, this is a year where I think everyone pretty much figured Ronald Acuna would win the National League Rookie of the Year. Soto wasn't even on the radar. He was a prospect, but he spent last year in the very low minors, and he only played 32 games last season. He was injured a bunch of times. So no one thought Juan Soto would make the majors this year before, I don't know, September. Instead, here he is. He's been the fifth best hitter in baseball to this point, which is just absurd. And that's not among teenagers. And Soto, what made it immediately, enchanting is that you could see not only was he up and he was hitting the ball hard and he wasn't striking out too much, but he was drawing a lot of walks. This is a 19-year-old kid. He's the fastest player, the fastest rookie to the major league since Alex Rodriguez. He's 19 years old, can't say that enough. And he has, even now, he's been a regular player for the Nationals since the middle of May, and he has just three fewer walks than strikeouts, which is a really, really difficult thing to do. So when you look at his combination of walks, strikeouts, and power, there are very few players that compare to him right now. Alex Bregman is pretty similar. Jose Ramirez is like one level above. But just in terms of how Soto can, he's disciplined. He's got a two-strike approach. Like he chokes up. He shortens his stance, and he's so polished as a kid that I think in a season where we were expecting to get blown away by Acuña and Shohei Ohtani and Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar among the rookies, and Soto has been the best of them. He's so polished a hitter that it's hard. This is weird to say about a teenager, but it's hard to know how his hitting could even improve.
So far be it from me, and I know how foolish it would be to take a 19-year-old phenomenon like this, whose rocket-like ascension is it's a standalone kind of thing. It is the exception, and compare that to, I don't know, some other prospect languishing in AAA, but hold my beer and let me do it. Because while you're talking, I know White Sox fans are screaming, call up Eloy Jimenez, call up Eloy Jimenez. If young kids can have success right. like this in the major leagues, oh my God, call up Eloy Jimenez. Yeah,
waving around a Jeff Sullivan article as evidence and argument.
And I just wonder, before White Sox fans paper the ballpark with your article on Juan Soto tonight, what is there a point, are there comparisons to other prospects, like losing it in AAA? Are people worried over nothing and going to end up liking more service time regardless? Are these manipulations in your mind kind of becoming more about too much about team security and less about player development than they should be?
I think where we are now, I think that this is really difficult to prove because we don't have that much data, but I think we're entering a point where teams are becoming increasingly confident that really good prospects are ready for the majors sooner than before. We used to see that the cream of the crop might arrive when they were 22 or 23, but I think that you're starting to see them move faster. Now, not as fast as Juan Soto. That's not the norm, but it shouldn't be too much longer before we see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I saw a headline just yesterday that Eloy Jimenez is pretty close to getting called up. And I mean, I've looked at the White Sox roster and it's about time. Now, in terms of just the approach to the plate, I think what made Soto almost miraculously safe as a call-up is that in the minor leagues, he had about as many walks as strikeouts. And when you see that in a guy and you see that much power, you get a sense that, all right, this guy has a really advanced approach. And Eloy Jimenez is not quite on that level, but, you know, he's also not 19 years old. He spent more time getting polished in the minors. And I mean, look, I like, I don't know, Nicky Delmonico and Daniel Palka as much as the next guy, but it's time to inject a little more life into the White Sox lineup. I don't have eyes on Eloy Jimenez. I don't know what holes in his swing or whatever judgments the White Sox think they might have. And I know that they would surely like to see some more, but it's time. I mean, Jimenez is a four-digit OPS in AAA. That's an OPS over one. I don't need to tell you about his numbers. They're incredible. And I know that there's the argument that if you just hold off and you don't promote him until, I don't know, the middle of next April, then you get that extra year. But that's quite a distance away from now still. And I suspect we're going to see both Guerrero and Jimenez up before long, and you're just going to have these teams maybe try to sign them to long-term extensions really early in their careers to try to negate that service time concern. We saw the Phillies do that with Scott Kingery. Now, that hasn't really worked out for them or him yet. I guess it's worked out for him, not them. But they squashed that concern by just signing Kingery to a long-term contract before he came up. I don't know if Jimenez is going to be amenable to that, but it's at least an option.
Jeff, I need some guidance from you because sometimes, you know, I should mention my doctor suspended me from WebMD because he told me, he said you're a nightmare patient. Smart. He said because you know just enough to try to find stuff, but you didn't go to medical school, so you don't know what's complete BS. So I will not respond to anything you think you found on WebMD. So he said that to me. He suspended me. So similarly, I get that way with Fangraphs now. And that's why you essentially are going to be the MD here. When I look at John Lester's hard hit percentage given up, and we were trying to determine in deviation from his career numbers what matters and what doesn't. So I thought, well, wait a sec. I said, Connor, help me sort this, and let's look up current leaders or the worst in hard hit percentage. And lo and behold, among qualified pitchers, at the very top is Cole Hamels. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, that's not good. And then I see like Patrick Corbin is on there and Zach Greinke is on there. And it was a weird mixture of bad pitchers and good pitchers. You know, Quintana is actually ahead of John Lester. So what's the significance, based on how often somebody is hit, I guess, what's the significance of hard hit percentage for a pitcher?
I don't want to downplay our own statistics that we have on Fangraphs, but in years of doing research on the quality of contacts that pitchers allow, I like having soft and medium and hard contact. I like it more for hitters because for pitchers, it takes a lot of information to really suss out some signal to be like, all right, this guy actually allows harder contact than usual, or this guy allows softer contact than usual. I think that Kyle Hendricks is a guy who demonstrated that for a while he could generate softer contact than usual. Same was true of prime Jake Arrieta. The opposite has been true of someone like, I don't know, Robbie Ray on the Diamondbacks, or we've seen it with Chris Archer is a guy who I think allows a little harder contact than usual. And I suspect in some of these cases, what you have are pitchers who are so good at getting swings and misses out of the zone that the only contacts they really allow is in the zone. And if you only allow strikes to be put in play, then those are likely to be hit a little harder. So in that sense, it's sort of damning with faint praise or praising with faint damnation. I don't know which one it is, where you'll have this a sort of correlation between pitchers who get a lot of strikeouts but also allow hard contact. I think Craig Kimbrell was kind of a guy like this for a little while, where he basically didn't allow any contact out of the zone. So if you hit the ball in play against Craig Kimbrell, congratulations, you probably hit it pretty hard, but you also probably didn't hit it at all. So with hard hit rate, I like to look at it, but I think it's more meaningful for hitters. For pitchers, you can look at it, and over multiple years, maybe you'll see something, but it's I would say that it's, for certainly a case like John Lester, it would be the third thing I'd worry about behind the strikeouts and behind the walks.
Jeff, before we let you go, real quickly, how mind-boggling are the Red Sox? And if you had to use all the tools in your toolbox to project them for a win-loss total, what are they? I mean, you guys do this on your own podcast, so I don't feel bad doing it to you. What would you project them to be on a win-loss total?
All right, I can tell you. Okay, so the Red Sox right now, they're 79 and 34. On Fangraphs right now, based on all the updated projections and whatnot, they are projected to finish 108 and 54. That is a very good record. Of course, they're on pace, if you want to say pace is what they've already done, then they're on pace to finish, I think, something like 113 and whatever 169 minus 113 is. It's 49, I guess, doing math on the air. So the Red Sox are obviously very good. Now, at the same time, if you're worried about the final win number, this is a team. They have a massive lead in the American League East. They know they're going to the playoffs. They're going to rest up. I would imagine they'll take the last few weeks of the season and give some players some breathers. They're not going to be playing at 100% because they have no real incentive to do it. And this isn't a team that I think is likely to break the all-time wins record for a variety of reasons. They're just not really, I don't think it really means very much, and it's just a really difficult pace to sustain. But team, it's obviously very good, and you look at what the differences are from last year, and, you know, new manager, you add J.D. Martinez, and then you have Mookie Betts, who's trying to be the best player in baseball. So it's interesting to see the team turn around as dramatically as it has from last year, when the team just couldn't really hit up to anyone's standards. And I don't want to give JD Martinez too much credit. I don't want to say he's the reason that this entire lineup has turned around, but this is certainly one of those cases where people will be citing this year's Red Sox as an argument for why you sign a big bat moving forward, add him to the middle of the lineup, because at least based on this one team, you could make the argument that JD Martinez has made everyone except for Christian Vasquez better.
Jeff, great stuff. We really appreciate it. Asked and answered on all these things.
Yeah, thank you.
It's well done. Appreciate it.
Stay off WebMD, just for all of our sake.
That is Jeff Sullivan, the Fangraphs senior editor. Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. You know, you know just enough to get yourself in trouble.
Smart enough to be dangerous. That's what my grandfather always said. Just smart enough to be dangerous. Speaking of, not only is Mookie Betts making a play to be one of the best players, maybe the best player in baseball this season, Jose Ramirez is right there with Mike Trout.
Nipping at the heels, because with Trout being out, we've interrupted the accrual of decimals of wins above replacement, because every single game, Trout, just by being Mike Trout, has been able to just sort of add on, almost like a stalagmite, as the limestone drips from the ceiling.
It just
keeps growing. But when he's out, can't do it.
It might affect Mike Trout's rehab here, because the Cleveland Indians, for whom Jose Ramirez plays, get the White Sox over the weekend. I don't know if that's going to spur Trout to get himself back into gear, get himself going, put a little more distance in between. I don't know. But Jose's got the White Sox this weekend.
No, we got a White Sox former player that's all kinds of dangerous in some other ways as well. I don't know if you saw the story, but a very successful former White Sox who I thought had made enough money to not have to make some of the choices that he did is in some real serious trouble. We will talk about that leading up to Doug Glanville at 10:40. We're going to give away $1,000 after that. The Midway at 11, we're going to talk with Elise Menneker, the Big Ten Network, who was at the Ohio State Urban Meyer rally, whatever. I'm laughing, but it really was horrible. And Joe Madden, of course, joins us at noon. Bernstein and McKnight, you've got the score.
Cubs manager Joe Madden joins the Bernstein and McKnight Show today at noon.
Alex Rodriguez came out with a surprising report regarding Yu Darvish.
Nobody contaminates our space. We as a group are not going to permit it.
Talk Cubs with Joe on the Bernstein and McKnight Show today at noon. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
This is Damon Amendolara with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Navien Tankless Water Heaters, proven performance for endless hot water. That Urban Meyer rally last night in Columbus, boy, that was inspiring. About 100 people showing up to support the Ohio State football coach, and this was certainly a group of extremely socially conscious people. They took a night away from changing the world, these warriors, to support Urban. Give them credit for fighting for the little guy. But it's a shame these protesters missed their binge watching of Real Housewives for the night. We're eating another cheese crust meat stuffed pizza. But there was an important cause to support. These people were there giving voice to the voiceless, a powerful millionaire football coach and the highest paid state employee. But you know what? These people just wanted to change the world for the better. I'm D.A.
Hi, I'm Ben Zobrist, the MVP for Chicago's World Championship Baseball team. I've teamed up with Westfield Ford because I know a winner when I see one.
Get $6,500 off MSRP on a brand new 2018 Explorer. Or choose 0 for 60 plus $2,000 bonus cash.
Join me, Ben Zobrist, on another winning team. Westfield Ford on LaGrange Road in Countryside.
All offers plus tax, title, license, and doc fees. To qualified buyers on select models. Savings from MSRP based on $16.67 per thousand financed. All four rebates and incentives apply. Expires 8/31/18.
Hey, Cubs fans, your son or daughter could be the kid of the game at the Cubs home game on August 26th. Enter to win at Chicago's Pastime page on Facebook. Prize package includes the opportunity to say play ball over the PA before the game, kid of the game t-shirt, and four tickets to the game. The contest is sponsored by MLB brand Chicago Cubs Edition Frozen Foods, by Chicago Cubs Edition Waffles and Appetizers at Angelo Caputo's, Hy-Vee, Pete's Market, and Tony's Fine Foods. Enter the contest on Chicago's Pastime Facebook page to win an experience your child will never forget.
Ask any dentist and they will tell you most of us brush our teeth too hard, unevenly, and not nearly long enough, and that leads to serious health problems. So I decided to do something about it. I'm Simon Enova, and I invented Quip, the modern electric toothbrush to help you have fresh breath, pristine teeth, and excellent oral hygiene. As a product designer, I care about how your toothbrush looks, feels, and the quality of every bristle. Quip has a lightweight and sleek design with simple timed vibrations and guiding pulses for a perfect two-minute clean. And unlike other high-end electric toothbrushes, Quip starts at just $25. BuzzFeed calls us the iPhone of toothbrushes, and Time magazine named us one of the best inventions of the year. Start brushing better with Quip.
Go to getquip.com/clean and get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/clean. Spelled getquip.com/clean.
Schneider is proud to announce two new easy ways to connect with driver recruiting: live chat and text to chat. Quickly get your questions answered and your job interview set up. But for everyone's safety, never while driving. Live chat is now available at schneiderjobs.com. Chat live today to find different driving jobs near you, or text chat, C-H-A-T, to 28000. That's live chat at schneiderjobs.com or text chat to 28000.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, there's something about protecting people's homes through Progressive that inspires me, because I just had an idea for a book. Well, it was originally an idea for a movie based on a play inspired by a podcast. But the idea is how you can save when you bundle home and auto. Might not be the best idea for a book.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe a radio commercial? Guess we'll never know.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids.
Donate your car today with 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. We're a recognized 501c3 charity organization, so you'll receive a maximum tax deduction. What's more, you'll receive a vacation voucher of 3 days and two nights. Also on the web at carsforkids.com.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today.
Remember, that's Cars with a K.
At Walgreens, we believe everyone counts, and that includes your everyday choices. Today, when you buy participating products at Walgreens, you support our partnership with the Me to We Foundation in their mission to deliver education, clean water, healthy food, and healthcare to children in need around the world. Stop by your local Walgreens to shop products that support Me to We, like Hershey's. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Now with cards, select Hershey's party size bags are $9.99 each, valid July 29th through September 3rd.
It's Big Flex.
Friday, the Bernstein and McKnight Show will be live from Wrigley. Stop by Gallagher Way to see Bernstein and McKnight talk Chicago sports and get ready for the Cubs matchup against Washington. The show starts at 9 and will lead into the pregame show with Zach Zaidman at 12:45. Start your weekend early with The Score, the official radio home of Cubs baseball.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score
and 670thescore.com.
Chicago Sports Station.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, apparently so. What, 44 pounds of it? This is the Bernstein McKnight Show, by the way. According to ABC7's I-Team reporting, Chuck Gowdy says Esteban Loaiza,
All-Star.
Former White Sox pitcher, two-time All-Star.
Really?
And at one point, the holder of the Mexican pitching record. He had 21 victories. I think it's the most
by a Mexican-born pitcher?
Most pitching wins by a Mexican-born pitcher, if you're interested in pitching wins, as many were at the time. He's expected to plead guilty on Friday in a federal cocaine distribution case. He pleaded not guilty earlier this year in Southern California U.S. District Court to a charge of possession with intent to distribute 44 pounds of cocaine.
Your Honor, I was lying before. I'm totally guilty. I did that. All of it. Did all of it.
He has a change of plea hearing on the court's docket 1 o'clock on Friday. A change of plea is a guilty plea in 99% of cases, according to their experts. He was arrested February 9th after authorities said they found cocaine inside a minivan parked in the garage of a townhouse he'd rented near San Diego. Federal investigators believe the property, which they found empty of furnishings, was being used as a transshipment point for cocaine. And the day he was arrested, Loaiza had driven over the Mexican border. And at the time, he couldn't come up with the $24,000 cash required to bond out of jail, despite having made... How much do you think he made during his 14-year MLB career total?
Oh, during his MLB career? Yep. See, in my head, I was trying to price out 44 pounds of cocaine. Let's see. Going market for an 8 is... during his MLB career, I'm going to say $12
million. $43 million.
Oh, you're kidding me. He got a big contract?
He made $43 million, according to ABC7's iTeam. $43 million in 14 years.
Who paid him? Oh, he played 95 to 08. All right. Yep. Okay.
Now, a straight conviction on the charge would carry a 10-year mandatory minimum prison sentence up to a life behind bars. But I just keep getting back to what entices somebody with that kind of generational wealth to enter into this as a new retirement vocation.
I don't know. Maybe he thought he could get lucky, what with making $21 million over the last three seasons of his career and compiling a whip of 1.4 and an ERA of 5.10. Maybe he just thought, well, clearly the Lord has smiled on me. Anything I do works out. I'll just see what happens in the drug trafficking business.
But in the business, it's not like he's accepting FedEx pack that arrives at his house, or he was caught with something he was using himself.
The change of plea deal is like, hey, if you want to know who else is into this, I'll give you some names. That's got to be what is, right?
Well, if he's cartel affiliated, who knows? He's from Tijuana originally. I have no clue.
Neither do I.
What's going on here?
Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. Coach Fitz and the Cats return to Ryan Field after a 10-win campaign last year. Don't miss out on matchups with Michigan, Notre Dame, and more. Season and single-game tickets are on sale now at anysports.com. Javi Baez is on a tear. He's hitting .400 with nearly a 1,500 OPS in his last 10 games. Mike Montgomery makes his 13th start of the season tonight at Kansas City, right here on The Score. Joe Maddon joins Burson and McKnight at noon. Albert Almora with McNeil and Parkins at 2. At Guaranteed Rate Field this evening, Ronaldo Lopez will pitch against the Yankees for the first time in his career. Football, Roquan Smith remains unsigned in the Bears' final week down in Bourbonnais. And Ravens safety Eric Weddle says RPOs, just the NFL's latest fad, they will be out of the league in 5 years. This update was brought to you by Subway. Show them your app and wet your whistle during Free Drink Friday. Just head to Subway restaurants every Friday and show them your Subway app for your free 21-ounce drink. Limited time only at participating restaurants. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. And the third annual Joe Maddon Celebrity Golf Classic at Bryn Mawr Country Club is Monday in the Bernstein and McKnight Show, broadcasting live from the course. Tune in to hear the guys from 9 to 1, only on 670 The Score, Chicago's number one rated sports station. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to the radio home for Cubs baseball, 670 The Score. The next game on The Score tonight at 640 when the Cubs take on the Royals. This is 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Several texters pointing out that Esteban Loaiza was in a relationship with a very famous Mexican singer who had ties to a major cartel.
Oh.
And that's what started it. That's from Cicero Mike. Also, the 773 said it's his wife who is a famous singer with cartel ties. Oh, my only requirement here, the only thing I hope comes out of this, you know, whatever justice is done, that somebody writes a narco corrido about Esteban Loaiza.
I want some sort of... I mean, if this... It's Breaking Bad. It's Johnny Depp and Blow, right? I mean, this is basically a movie script already done.
It's the songs, though. It's the famous songs referred to as Narco Corridos, which
sing one for me.
I don't know any off the top of my
sing
head.
No, sing it now.
I know that there's the sort of Norteño style, Texas regional, you know, heavy accordion tuba sound and norteño music, and there's and then it's sort of got wrapped in what was
it's also with a giant guitar,
the bass thing, boom, boom, okay, boom, boom. And it's sort of it was a Spanish tradition of these odes to criminals, and almost like Mack the Knife even was in that.